It is 11:48. You're on KHUM. My name is Mike Drockers, and joining me to my left is a dude who could be, without any sort of hyperbole, or a radio legend. It's Bill Goldsmith from Radio Paradise and K-Poi and K-Fat and K-Pig and all these stations that when people tell us nice things about K-Hum, sometimes they'll precede it with, it reminds me of stations you've worked for. Welcome to K-Hum.
Well, thank you.
It's weird to hear your voice, because I listened to Radio Paradise and said, oh, wow, his voice is now coming through my headphones.
Well, it's kind of weird coming through your headphones for me, too.
Uh-oh.
Well,
it's strangely intimate.
It is. Why would people, for people who do not know about Radio Paradise, why you are an important person in the world, if I may, is that Radio Paradise, when it went live in 2001?
2000,
okay. It was this idea of a radio station that was built around music and not like dumb promotions and not like remotes from, you know, these strange places that have nothing to do with music. Like it was a really music-based thing. Do you consider yourself a music person or a radio person or a tech person or just a person?
Well, that last one mainly, but all of the above. And it wasn't so much a new idea about how to do radio as much as an old idea that had kind of gotten lost. The idea of turning a disc jockey loose with, like they do here, with a with a huge collection of music and letting them make radio. According to their stream of consciousness, their mood of the moment, and this whole thing called freeform radio, and I don't think people who live in this area and have access to this radio station have any idea how much of a lost art that is when you look at the radio industry as a whole. You go to San Francisco, there is no station like K-Hum in San Francisco. You go to Los Angeles or New York or any other town market this size anywhere in the country, there is no radio station like K-Hum. They've all been absorbed into this lowest common denominator pop music spewing money machine that the broadcast business has grown into over the last 20 years.
Well, if I may, just to advocate the devil here, the reason for that we could both agree is that DJs, when you put them in a room full of music, you get these extreme highs and these just abysmal lows of like, hey, what happens if I play John Cage? You know, like that song, 4 Minutes of Silence. Like, what if I do that? So there is a reason for that. And that is why many of these amazing stations, your K-Sans, your K-Fats, has sort of fallen away.
That was one ingredient in the mix. Overindulgent DJs, believe it or not, the consumption of forbidden chemicals of one sort or another.
Get out of here. In
the radio studio, live on the air. Believe it or not, that played a role in the demise of an awful lot of those stations.
Would you like some cocaine, by the way? I brought some just for you.
No, thanks. I'm fine.
Oh, you're good. Okay.
I've had enough.
Peruvian flake right back there. What's your favorite kind of cocaine, by the way? I'm kidding. So you went to this playground, and you, in your career, Bill Goldsmith, you've always occupied, you know, in the super highway of radio, you know, the sort of the 6-lane freeway where people are trying to be hyper competitive. You've always operated. It's like you're in a funny car, you know, like... You worked at these oddball stations, and then you go to Paradise, California, after, you know, getting off of terrestrial radio, and you say, I'm going to do online radio. Did you have an idea of how you wanted it to be different than what you had done for most of your life?
Well, yeah. I wanted it to not have any commercials. Now, no offense meant to any of K-Hum's fine advertisers. But I felt like I had inflicted my lifetime supply of radio advertising on the American public, and that it was time for me to do something a little different. And I had the experience of programming a radio station. It was a new format in the market, and it wasn't that great of a station. It was kind of a modern rock pop station, but we got to run it without any commercials for 6 months. And just the groove that developed over that long a period of time of always turning the station on and never hearing anything but a flow of music, I was the power of that really kind of took me by surprise, because I had just assumed that commercials were part of the mix. And I suspected that when I started Radio Paradise, that they would eventually be part of the mix, too. I had no idea that that as many people as it turned out would relished that continuous flow and the lack of interruptions that came from doing it non-commercially. So that's the big thing, because I had always worked in commercial radio all my career.
And now you're super broke and live out of a van?
No.
We, Radio Paradise enjoys amazing listener support.
Yes, we have an absolutely amazing crew of listeners all around the world that that take care of us quite nicely.
So you are on the air, so to speak, on RP, and you will jump in every few songs and sort of build bridges between this set and that set. Can you talk a little bit about what you are thinking about when you're handpicking songs, and what makes the Radio Paradise experience, and I think the K-Hum experience, what, in your view, makes that listening experience different than something like Pandora, where you're sort of customizing algorithms via computer software?
Pandora is great. Pandora is a great way to be exposed to artists who are similar in style to an artist that you like already. It performs a valuable function. It's not radio, in my opinion. Radio is an experience, first of all, that's shared by a hopefully large number of people simultaneously. Or more or less, that's an important ingredient in it. And there's an element of surprise that comes with good radio. You never quite know what you're going to hear next. If you program a Pandora station over a certain period of time, you get to the point where you pretty much know what's going to come next. You know that there's something that sounds very much like something that you've already heard is going to be coming up. And if it's not something you've heard before, it's something that sounds very much like it. There's no element of, oh my God, I would have never chosen to listen to that. But wow, I kind of dug it.
So on these sort of outlets that we're discussing, you will hear something like Israel Kamaka, Viva Ole.
Very good.
Into, Yo-Yo Ma, Libertango, because they do share, tonal quality and mm-hmm. compositional quality that a computer cannot discern.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, the listeners can learn more about my guest, Bill Goldsmith, and Radio Paradise over at khum.com, or we got a little link up there. What we're going to do is play Radio Ping Pong. And the way that works is you will start, you'll throw a song out, and I will listen to it, and I will try and respond in kind with something that makes for a sort of, if radio is brush strokes, a little mm-hmm. blue here, a little green there, we're trying to make the whole painting here.
Okay.
So what do you want to set us up with?
We have an artist from France, actually, to start out with. His name is Ben L'Oncle Sol. You've heard of him.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Love the dude.
All right. And he does this... really, really cool cover of a White Stripes song here.
You're already winning. This song is awesome. Is it playing?
No, it's not.
Are you plugged in? There we go. There's
that. Yeah, I'm plugged in.
I heard a thing there.
Okay. All right.
Hold up. I can pull that from here.
Okay, you pull that from there, and I'll get this working.
There we go. This is a brilliant, brilliant song here. He does Seven Nation Army. Wapow. All right, we'll play it from here. And then we'll determine what the problem is.
I'm gonna find them off. A Seven Nation Army couldn't know me back. They're gonna rip it. Thank you.
Gonna tell you what's on pretend.
Joss Stone fell in love with the boy covering the White Stripes. And then Bill Goldsmith's pick, Ben Longle Soul.
Also covering the White Stripes.
Also covering the White Stripes.
So nice little connection there.
It's all in there. Funky yeah. White Stripes covers. Yeah. We're playing Radio Ping Pong, and it is your serve. What is coming our way?
Well, up next would be the Decemberists. Wrong button.
There we go.
Had a dream, you and me in the war of the end times. And I believe California succumbed to the fault line. We heaved relief as scores of innocents died. And the Andalusian tribe. Supply side bonomy bone draft, you know what I mean. On the road, it's well advised to follow your own bag. In the year of the chewable ambient tab and the Panamanian child. Yeah.
this is why we fight. Come to me now, lay your arms around me. This is why we fight. Come out, come hang out, come out, come.
shadow. Every day is trying to trick me into doing battle. Calling out fake up, wanna get me rattled. Wanna pull me back behind the fence with the cat. Building your lenses, digging your trenches. Put me on the front line, leave me with a dumb mind. With no defenses, but your defenses. If you can't stand to feel the pain, then you are senseless. Since then, I've grown up some different kind of fire. And when the darkness comes, let it inside you. Your darkness is shining, my darkness is shining. Have faith in myself. Seen a million number doors on the horizon. Now which is the future you're choosing before you gon' die? And I'll tell you about a secret I've been undermining. Every little lie in this world come from the Bible. Say you're my love, say you're my home. Till my chin back, slit my throat. Take a bath in my blood, get to know me. All out of my secrets. All my enemies are turning into my teachers. Speak up, like blind in no way dividing. What's yours or mine when everything's shining? And your darkness is shining. My darkness is shining. Have faith in ourselves.
Is Alexander Ebert. He is the main dude from Edward Sharp and the Magnetic Zeros. Saw that guy play with Edward Sharp. They started the concert, let's say they started the concert at 1 o'clock. He was airborne by 1:01:02. He was like flying into the crowd. It was amazing. Bill Goldsmith is here from Radio Paradise and a long legendary career. We're playing Radio Ping Pong. So Alexander, and before that you played Wilco.
Yes. From the Summer Teeth album.
Correct. And did you see that documentary?
I did not. I've heard about it.
It's pretty cool. Jeff Tweedy, you really get a sense of how uncomfortable in his own skin he is. You know? A lot of Diet Coke getting drunk in that movie. A lot. And then I went with the Decemberists, the iTunes version of This Is Why We Fight. They did an iTunes studio session. Mm-hmm. And maybe not the best call, because it's not too different from... Well, the Decemberist record, which you played before it.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's Calamity.
Awfully, awfully similar.
It's Yeah. I was kind of like, oh, God, this is not going to work. Oh, boy. Well, you're here, and Radio Ping Pong will continue after the break, but I wanted to ask you a couple of questions about Radio Paradise.
Sure.
You have, obviously, a wide, like an international audience base. Mm-hmm. It's widely popular. It hit the ground running. I remember, you know, when it launched, my friends... who know that I have a radio show. They're like, you really got to listen to this RP, man. It's awesome. I'm like, you know, I'm on the air. They'd be sending me emails while I'm doing a show. Was it hard to launch? To sort of spring to the prominence?
No, we launched at just exactly the right time. There really weren't that many internet radio stations out there at the time. Certainly not. There were very few that were professionally programmed and always there when you tuned them in and had decent websites and all that kind of thing. So we just kind of filled that slot in that time for an eclectic rock music station that a pretty diverse group of people could enjoy listening to. And that's actually where we got a lot of our early listening, and still today. A lot of people listen to us in offices where it's quite contentious exactly what's going to be listened to. And we managed to keep a larger number of people in the office happy than anything else they've ever tried because of the diversity of what we do.
Now, just as a programmer, I mean, radio people, and I don't want to get into this because it's ultra boring when you sit around and hear radio people talk about radio tactics. Yeah, exactly. But do tactics ever enter your mind when you're talking about, well, I need to keep this radio station, you know, this audience. Should I play something that will be broadly appealing in offices around America? Or do you just go, I really think it would be cool to hear that song into that other song?
It would be that second one.
Yeah?
Yeah. So we don't ever... I don't ever play anything on the air simply because I think the audience wants to hear that. It begins with me wanting to hear it. It begins with it seeming like a good thing for me to put into my ears in this moment.
So it's like the Radio Paradise narrated mixtape as opposed to the Radio Paradise sort of controlled and calculated
professional radio station. Yes.
Can we agree that radio, just by and large, not that good anymore, right?
Well, can I use the S word?
Not here.
Okay.
You do that on your station.
Yeah. But people know what the S word is, and they know that S word applies to radio.
Wait, are you referring to syndication?
No, I was not. No, it's a shorter word. I believe there are four letters in it.
Hold on, let me make a list real quick.
Yeah. And as I explained earlier, KHM is a happy and very, unfortunately, unique exception to that rule.
Please don't tell our audience that. They don't know that we shouldn't be here. They think this is totally normal. Like, if they get wise to what is really happening, they will.
Well, just go down to San Francisco and try to find a radio like this on the dial. You won't.
It really is. I mean, not to lament the sort of the over-control of radio, but, you know, radio is an art form. It is alive and well in a bunch of places around the world, RP included.
Yeah, it is. It's largely alive online, and that's really starting to an increasingly higher percentage of the really talented people in radio, the really creative people in radio, are transitioning into working on online projects. And I think we're going to see some really interesting stuff happening in the next couple of years.
Lastly, before we go to break, one of the things that I've always felt about radio is that, you know, you really are, if you're doing your job right as a radio host, you know, you don't, first of all, think of yourself as a host. You're basically in somebody's car shoving CDs into their CD player or fiddling with their iPod. Oh, can I play you this? You know, that's what you're mm-hmm. doing. And in that sense, it is kind of a social media, if not the original social media. How has Radio Paradise sort of aligned interaction with the audience and music?
That's been an important part of the mix for us right from the beginning. Connecting with the audience in a way that allowed us to gauge how they were being affected by the music we were playing. We're not in this for the largest possible audience. We're not trying to pander to any particular pre-existing tastes on the audience's part, but we want to know how they respond to things. So we've made it really easy for people to rate songs and write comments about the songs and to read what what their fellow Radio Paradise listeners have had to say. And that's not only really interesting reading and really forms a at times really interesting reading. But it gives us an overall sense of how we're being received by the audience, how individual pieces of music are being received. And it does influence whether we play something more or play something less.
Well, I do know that a lot of people who listen to KHM also listen to Radio Paradise. And, you know, there may be some of those RP folks have followed you here to hear you do this live thing. How what do you think about when you read their comments? You know, there's 303 comments on Bronny R. Stomp. I saw that this morning. 303 things that have apparently not been said about that Led Zeppelin song. Do you, you know, if people flame a song, do you go, well, maybe I shouldn't play that?
The ultimate thing is comes back to, is this something I want to hear? And if something is getting shot down in flames by the audience, but I still put it on and it still moves me, and I think, no, no, this has value. This is worthy of its 3 or 4 or 5 minutes worth of time on Radio Paradise. I will go ahead and play it anyway. And there are things that that get very high ratings, and I listen to it and just say, man, this is boring. This is boring. You know, this violates rule number one. And rule number one is no boring music.
So does that mean if you are running this really complicated software that's making it easy for hundreds of people to chime in on a certain song, you know, you've got that going, you've got multiple streams, you've got this very sophisticated array of computers at your house. You've got that. It's very complicated. And then you've got your gut, which is very simple. Would you say that Radio Paradise is more simple than complicated?
Well, it's complicated in its execution, but it's really simple in its concept, and it's just one guy, me, with the help of one woman, my wife, who is my partner in this business. Playing the music that he thinks is entertaining and valuable and moving and worthy of people's attention and likely to be entertaining. That's all it is. That's pretty simple. It's no different, really, in concept.
Yeah.
From me sitting there in somebody's car in the passenger seat, fiddling with the iPod, saying, "Hey, listen to this."
As that iPod fiddler, though, I mean, I know, never mind. We could go off. We got to go to break here. Bill Goldsmith is here from Radio Paradise. There's more info over at khum.com and, of course, radioparadise.com. Radio Ping Pong continues after this on KHUM.
KHUM, Humboldt Grown Radio, without the rules.
It's Radio Ping Pong with Bill Goldsmith of Radio Paradise, and we've been talking about music and such. What would you like to open this round with?
Well, I think for this we'll go back to 1970. And Van Morrison's album Moondance.
We were born before the wind, also younger than the sun. Yeah, the bonnie boat was won as we sail into the mystic. Oh, I can now hear the sailors cry, smell the sea and feel the sky. Let your soul and spirit fly into the mystic. Where that foghorn blows, I will be coming home. Yeah, when the foghorn blows, I wanna hear it. I don't have to fear that I wanna rock your gypsy soul. Just like way back in the days of old, and magnificently we will fold into the mystic. And then
that foghorn blows, you know I will be coming home. And when that foghorn whistle blows, I gotta hear it. I don't have to fear it. And I wanna rock a gypsy soul, just like way back in the day, the old. And together we will float into the mystic. Come on, girl.
Goldsmith. Come on. That's a trick shot there.
Yeah, it was. It was.
Explain that.
I don't think there's any explaining that. It's a Indian instrument electronic cover of a Black Sabbath song. by a group called Opium Jukebox. I almost like the name of the band better than I like the band. Opium Jukebox.
Yeah, coming out of, because we were playing Wichita before that by Brewer and Chipley. Yeah. And, you know, because it had that tabla riding through the whole thing.
Yeah.
And then you're like, well, I could find a tabla song. I knew immediately. You know what this is? This isn't so much ping pong as it is you are like the Harlem Globetrotters, and I'm that dumb local team that they offer up to the slaughter. You're like doing like hook shots, like sky hooks from half court. Nothing but net. That was unbelievable, Phil Goldsmith. Nicely done. And then starting the set was Van Morrison.
Yeah.
That was your,
a song called Into the Mystic that I've always just really loved.
Never gets old.
Me out.
Never gets old for you.
No, I've heard that song probably 2,000-3,000 times.
How old is that song now? 41?
Yeah, it'd be 41 years.
Wow. Amazing. Yeah, it really. Now, do you like new Van Morrison too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, not as much as the old stuff. He hit a peak there in the in the late 60s and early 70s that it's not possible that he could ever match again.
No.
Because he did some almost superhuman recordings, and Bob Dylan did the same thing in the 60s, and he's acknowledged that. I don't know if Van has or not. Van's got an even bigger ego than Bob Dylan, which is really saying a lot. but Dylan even acknowledges that he couldn't write those songs again today. He couldn't come up with those performances that he did today. You know, song. He says, you know, a song like Desolation Row. Where the hell does that come from?
Right.
That didn't come out of my head. That came from somewhere else. That's what he says.
And but then you've got people who turned out music not as like mystically, not like shaman music, but you know, like your Neil Youngs. Like every 10 years or so, Neil Young puts out a record like, you know, Harvest Moon or something like that. That's equally brilliant. How do some people hold that? I'm asking you as though there's an objective answer and you have it and I don't.
Neil Young is Neil Young. He's in a special category. And also I think that that one thing that Neil has hung on to that a lot of people lose over the years, and I'm not saying that either Dylan or Van Morrison have lost that, but that's the sense of uncontamination of their music, that that they are writing songs and recording and performing just to satisfy their own internal muse. Neil Young makes a record that sounds a particular way because that's just the way he wants to do it right now, and there is absolutely no calculation whatsoever in any part of his craft. And I think that's why he's still capable of those you know, crazy shots out of nowhere that he comes up with every decade or so.
Yeah, it is. You know, some people write like they have to get the beast out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then other people, you know, not so much.
Yeah, it's kind of my job. Yeah.
You know, I read an interview with the Indigo Girls once, and they said, well, I guess it's time for a record. And then they hole up for a few days, and they write 12 songs, and they come out. They're like, done.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, wow, you can do that?
Yeah.
That's another way to do it.
Yeah.
Let me just ask you a couple more questions since, you run Radio Paradise and you've had this sort of amazing career in alternative radio, true alternative radio, free form and that sort of thing. First of all, when you came out of radio, you had said that you had to unlearn some programming stuff. Can you give me an example of something that you conscientiously just wiped from your bag of tricks?
The concept that a radio station, even a alternative or freeform radio station, had to glom onto a fairly small list of current songs and repeat them over and over again, so that people would become familiar with them, and so that they could become part of the station's normal repertoire, and that the only way to really introduce something to people was to intensely play it over and over again for a relatively short period of time. A new album comes out and you glom onto a song, usually a song picked by the record company so that it's coordinated with all the other radio stations and video channels and whatnot, that, oh, this is going to be the next hit from this record. And then you repeat that song to the exclusion of all others from that album or from that artist for a month or two, and that's how you build familiarity with music, and that's really important to do. And also, you know, in the process of confining the new music that you play to those dozen or so songs that the record companies have decided that they want you to focus on right then, their priorities, they call them. By doing that, you're excluding this, you know, whole universe of other new music that's coming out. And I came into the Radio Paradise thing figuring, well, you know, that's something I've learned in radio that's valuable. I'll need to continue to do that, to, you know, to have that list of hit songs that we focus on. And I quickly realized that that was the biggest tune-out about the station, was the fact that we repeated the same currents, you know, two or three times in the same day, even.
Right. Which is low by rotation radio standards.
Yeah. I mean, that's, that, you know, I would compare it against, well, you know, that's nothing against X and such station that's going to play that that song 35 times this week. You know, we're only going to play it 9. That's still an awful lot for somebody that's listening to the station, you know, in their work environment all day, every day. So that's okay. And that's another thing that I had to unlearn is the traditional radio wisdom is you program for people that are tuning into your station for 15 or 20 minutes, and you want to give them the most bang up excellent radio experience
within that window. They're going to hear their favorite song.
Yeah, they're going to hear their favorite song, and the DJ is going to say something just super clever and quick and witty and get out of the way and let the magic happen and all this stuff. And with that, what you lose in programming for people who are listening for short periods of time is any connection with the listener who's sitting there and listening to the station all day long. And Radio Paradise is programmed absolutely for the person who's sitting there and listening to it all day long, as is K-Hum.
Right.
And that's something that's a huge setting apart from the mainstream of radio. And I had to unlearn that one, too.
Now, would you say that bag of tricks, which is widely practiced around the world, you know, people sort of rediscover, oh, yeah, you know, familiar. It's a crowded landscape when it comes to entertainment. You've got your, you know, it's just coming at people from all directions. So these radio stations that do that, you know, they sit and they go, well, we do it because of X, Y, and Z. Do you look at that and go, that is the wrong way? Or do you look at that and go, that's just not my way?
The second one. That's a way to do it. And it's a way to give most people exactly what they're looking for from the radio.
Right.
That experience that I'm talking about, if you turn it on for 15 or 20 minutes and you hear the songs you want to hear and the DJ shuts up real quick and all that good stuff, that's exactly the experience that most people want from a radio station.
Most people.
and I and you are programming for the other people. For the people who don't want that, who are looking for a little deeper or more meaningful or more connected experience out of the act of turning on the radio.
Now, at Radio Paradise, you're not sort of in the booth, you know, taking phone calls and, you know, lost dogs. That sort of thing is not happening. Let's just take a hypothetical. Now, your daughter, she lives in this area, which is part of the reason.
Yeah, two of my daughters.
Two of your daughters.
Yeah.
Now, let's just say hypothetically, one of your kids called in with a request or something like that. What's your experience with that?
Thanks for the setup question, daughter in the room. the number one consideration at any point is this the right song for me to be playing next on Radio Paradise? And all other considerations, including whether something was requested and even who requested it, fall by the wayside.
Wow. Well, more to come. We're going to do one more round. Look, that was my skyhook from half court. I knew I was setting you into a trap there. And I like doing it.
Okay.
You know, it's payback for that, what was that,
opium jukebox? Opium
jukebox,
yeah.
Oh, I'm so stealing that. Well, we'll do one more round when we come back, and I'm going to serve up the last round of Radio Ping Pong with Radio Paradise's Bill Goldsmith. It's K-Hum Radio. Stay tuned. All right, well, it's KHUM Garberville, Eureka Arcata, translator K282AD Eureka, streaming and podcasting over at khum.com, mobile site m.khum.com on your Droid or whatever. We're joined by Bill Goldsmith from Radio Paradise for the last round of Radio Ping Pong. You brought a computer here that has 12,000 songs on it.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the main bulk of the RP library, or do
yeah.
you have like a stash?
There's a much bigger stash, but that's the selection of songs that are actually actively being played or could be played.
Now, as a person who's swimming in music, trying to sort of emotionally relate to a song is often difficult.
Mm-hmm.
you know, even just, you know, we were talking about why radio stations will play a song 90 times in a week, or 116 times in a week is the record
right
that,
now. Yeah,
that number. What song was that? I can't remember. Anyway, point being is it's hard to sort of ingest a song, and catchiness does not necessarily make a great song, so you have to let it sit with you a couple of times. Like, so you're in this position of this waterfall of music that's just kind of dumping on your head, and you're looking up and you're trying to drink it all in. Like, how do you find room in your heart to love individual songs when you are swamped in it?
Wow, that's an excellent question. Because it does, being involved with music professionally, colors the way that I relate to music on a personal level. It colors the ability of music to reach me emotionally. I become a little bit numb to it and have to really consciously invite in that connection with the music that came really naturally to me when I wasn't, listening to music as a professional. You know, a professional listens to music and they're evaluating.
Where's the hook?
Yeah, where's the hook? You know, did they did they get to the chorus fast enough?
Are
you
they
know,
opening for Foo Fighters?
Yeah. and you know, and it's, you know, evaluating the song in terms of how would this fit on my radio station? How would I work this into the programming? Is this something that I even want to work into the programming? And just making all those decisions about a song. Well, that's not, you know, that's all intellectual. That's all completely removed from the emotional impact that a song might have, and getting all, having all that stuff you know, in my head when I'm listening to something can get it, certainly get in the way of allowing something to move me emotionally. And so I have to deliberately set down to listen to music as music. And one thing I find really really helpful with that, and I've been doing a lot more of lately, especially with my two daughters, is playing music myself.
Right,
and that makes it
guitar.
That makes it so much easier to glom onto that emotional connection, because it's hard to not be emotionally connected to and affected by a song if you're singing it yourself.
Right. So. Yeah. Do you find, you know, when somebody might, you know, if you're in college or something, you light a candle and you put the headphones on, you lay on your floor and you listen to Dark Side or whatever it is. Do you have that sort of behavior going on regularly?
Sometimes I do. Sometimes I'll sit and listen to Radio Paradise like that, and just see what, you know, kind of put myself in the position of a listener to my own radio station, and try to step back and listen to it with their ears to the best of my ability.
That's got to be wild, because both sides of your brain are going. Like, you're listening to the artistic element of the song, but you're also going, that segue point, I could have done that a little tighter.
Yeah. It's a challenge.
What is the future of radio?
Well, I hope it's something very much like what we're doing right here, and what you guys do on KHUM and what I do on Radio Paradise, and not like what you hear on so much of the FM dial elsewhere in the country and world.
That being sort of the long tail theory. Are you familiar with that?
Yeah, Chris Anderson's Long Tail. Something that connects with the reality of the music universe. The reality of the music universe that is that it's huge and expansive and inclusive, and that so much of the there's been an air of artificial scarcity about music, about new music. That's been fostered by the music machine. It works very well for them, but it's it has the effect of excluding this incredibly rich and diverse, you know, waterfall, like you to use your phrase, of music that's, you know, that could be pouring down on all of us.
Yeah, but most of that music's kind of bad.
Oh, there's that. Yeah, and that's where people like you and me come in, and that's why I think that the future in radio is bright for people like you and me, because there are people who want to have the experience of being turned on to new music, who appreciate the art of radio, especially want to hear the good new stuff without having to suffer through all the bad new stuff, and you know, to become one of those trusted filters for the new music is that's a great position to be in as things go forward.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, having to complain about listening to like 200 MySpace pages to find a good song, that's a first world problem if there ever were one.
Yeah,
you know?
quality problem.
So in terms of streaming and that sort of thing, all that stuff is so far up in the air right now, and you rely on the internet to deliver your you know, your radio station to audiences. Do you have concerns about the future of streaming law and copyright law and that sort of thing?
Nah, I really don't. I really don't.
That's so comforting.
We've been able to work out solutions to all the problems as they've come up, and I've been involved in that process over the last 10 years, a lot more than I would like. And at each point, we've been able to come up with a solution that works, and I am at this point confident that we'll continue to do that.
Well, we'll do one more set of music here, but I guess my final question is, what's next? You know, what's on the horizon? How would you like to develop Radio Paradise further if you had a bazillion dollars?
Well, I don't. Nothing that I want to do with Radio Paradise involves a bazillion dollars. Fortunately, and that there's nothing that I really want to do that.
You don't want to broadcast from a gold encrusted yacht.
No. You know, believe it or not, that doesn't call to me.
Scratch that from my list, then.
Okay.
No more.
Private jet, though. I don't know. Maybe the private jet.
Broadcast from orbit.
But what we're starting to do a little bit of, and I'm kind of excited about, is providing programming to mostly non-commercial FM stations to use in like their late night, early morning hours, stuff like that.
Oh, cool.
And we're doing that with a couple of stations over in the Valley, and I'd like to do that with more. And just the idea of, internet radio started off as you know, streams of terrestrial FM stations. That's all there was at the beginning on internet radio. And this neat kind of turnaround to drive around and listen to an FM station that's playing an internet radio station.
Right.
My internet radio station.
RadioParadise.com.
Yeah, Radio Paradise. Yeah, so cool.
Yeah, it is. That is quite the dream. You know, when a person in their car, they can flip on a radio station that can either pick up terrestrial FM or it could pick up a WiMAX signal and pull in a station from Seattle or a station from, like I'll listen to a public station out of Oklahoma a lot of times in the morning just because like, they run this really cool morning show. Yeah, cool. Mm-hmm. So I think, I mean, would you say that radio itself is okay, but the delivery medium is very volatile?
Oh, it's in a state of tremendous flux. And I think that at some point in the not terribly distant future, it won't really matter whether something is being broadcast on FM or being broadcast over the internet. And in a lot of cases, I imagine, people won't even know or care whether that's what's happening inside their car radio. They just know that they're getting the program they want. And I think increasingly that's going to be actually coming over the digital networks rather than FM.
Brave new world. Brave new world indeed. Let's kick off the final set here. You are not I had asked you off air what your most expensive record was, and you're not going to try and hunt down Sex Pistols B-sides on eBay or anything like that.
I don't have that collector gene.
This is a $75 record.
I looked at that and I thought, oh, Paul McCartney.
Yeah, exactly. It's this this host, there's a fantastic station in Jersey, WFMU, and one of the hosts put together a compilation of all these bands covering Ram by Paul McCartney. So it would be like, you know, Hank Four doing Smile Away or Ted Leo doing Backseat of My Car. Amy Mann does Too Many People. And this one here is going to be, I think I put the CD in there at some point like 10 minutes ago. Yeah, okay. This is going to be Death Cab for Cutie doing Dear Boy, which I think is a fantastic version of this song. And I know that you love their new record as much as I do.
Yeah.
It's KHUM. Check it out.
Maybe when you look too hard, dear boy. Yeah. a god-awful small affair to the girl with the mousy hair. But her mummy is yelling no, and her daddy has told her to go. But her friend is nowhere to be seen. Now she walks through her sunken dream to the seat with the clearest view, and she's hooked to the silver screen. But the film is a sad thing for she's lived it 10 times or more. She could spit in the eyes of fools if they ask her to focus on sailors fighting in the dance hall. Take a look at the law, man, beating up the wrong guy. Oh, man, wonder if you'll ever know who's in the best-selling show. Is there life on Mars? On America's tortured brow that Mickey Mouse has grown up a cow. Now the workers have struck for fame, 'cause Lennon's on sale again. See the mice in their million hordes, from Ibiza to the Norfolk Broads. Blue Britannia is out of bounds to my mother, my dog and clowns. But the film is a sad thing for, 'cause I wrote it 10 times or more. It's about to be writ again as I ask you to focus on sailors fighting in the dance hall. Oh man, look at those cavemen go. It's a take a look at the old man beating up the wrong guy. Oh man, wonder if he'll ever know who's in the best-selling show. Is there life on
So Charlie, take 3.
A trajetória escapa sempre.
That's really weird.
Yeah, how you like me now, Bill Goldsmith?
That is,
I didn't know more than one.
That is deeply bizarre.
Thank you.
And I love a deeply bizarre cover version. So I got to give you props for that one.
Well, that has been super fun. That was Seyu Jorge, and that was from the Life Aquatic soundtrack, where they have him playing these Bowie covers on stage. Speaking of Bowie, why don't you walk us through what you did to our ears?
Well, we heard Life on Mars before that, and I don't know if anybody ever watched the TV show based on that song. It was a TV show here in the U.S. a couple of years ago, but I only watched a couple of episodes of that. It seemed like that S word we were talking about earlier was involved with that show also.
Wait, you're alleging there was a TV show based on that Bowie song?
Based on that Bowie song, yeah. It was a TV show on one of the networks here that was based on a BBC series that was based on that Bowie song. And it was absolutely brilliant. It was a send-up of 1970s era British crime shows. And it was based around this incredible soundtrack and just some fabulous ensemble acting. So if you can, I think it was on BBC America at one point. It might still be. You can BitTorrent it, but it's the BBC Life on Mars series. It is absolutely fabulous TV, especially if you have a weakness for British TV.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
We heard the Red Button before that, a band that you had not heard, but they are... Yeah. They are Stephen Colbert to Stephen Colbert's Bill O'Reilly. You know what I mean? Like they're not copying the Beatles, but they are sure as hell like emulating it and walking a very fine legal line between the two. And then the Beatles.
Yeah.
Your mother should know.
One of the songs that John Lennon used to call Paul's Granny Crap. Except he used a different word. An S word, I believe it was.
And then we started with Death Cab for Cutie, Dear Boy, and that comes from a comp from FMU in Jersey City. That is, again, my most expensive record, but you are not a person who buys expensive records.
Yeah.
You manage libraries, and you appreciate sound.
Yeah.
But I love this thing. I really do. It's called Dog. It's dedicated to DJ's dog.
Oh, okay.
As opposed to Ram,
which was dedicated to Paul's Ram.
He had a Ram. Is that what's got? Look,
I believe so.
I'm not that into it, but okay.
He was hardcore into the Scottish farming thing, at the point that he.
When we were young, who wasn't really? You know, everybody goes through that phase.
Everybody wanted to be a Scottish farmer. Yeah,
exactly. Bill Goldsmith, Radio Paradise is an online radio station, a legendary one, and it has been really great to have you here. It's nice to finally meet you.
Same here.
Yeah, a bunch of my friends said, oh, wow, that dude, say hi to the RP guy. So, hi from all my friends.
Okay. So, hi, all his friends.
Well, with that, I guess you're going to be around for another week. Maybe we'll bump into you or something like that.
Maybe.
But people can read about you over at khum.com, and there's links galore there for all sorts of internet research. And I strongly encourage anybody to get the app and check it out, because it's fantastic.
Well, thanks very much for having me. It's been fun.
It has been fun.
Yeah.
I like fun.
Yeah.
I'm for it. All right. Well, we got to do a break here. It is KHUM, and that round of ping pong was awesome. And thanks again, Bill Goldsmith. Back in a moment here.